Now she's not going to do it. Very good. You did very well by downloading the podcast from Italy. Thank you so much and welcome. It is a beautiful Sunday morning. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my wife, Ashley. Together we run, own, operate, live at La Tavola Marche, a little agriturismo here in the heart of Italy.
Ciao tutti. Yes, we do. Our farm inn and cooking school here in our little lovely part of La Marche.
It is 6:54 in the a.m. on the 29th of October. We went to bed early last night and didn't realize that today is the day where we changed the clock. We rolled the clocks back. So
not only were we up early, but it was extra early. We were wondering, why are we not hearing the hunting cars passing or Gaji's toot going by? It's starting to get almost to 6:30 and we're not hearing the Sunday morning traffic of hunters. What's going on?
No, it was 5:30.
It was 5:30. All right. Well.
Well, combine that with going to sleep early last night. We have the weekend off. We just finished up our consulting workshop, which went really well.
Yes. So we are chipper as our chickens right now. And let's just jump right on in and go over what's been going on the last week or two.
Last week or two. I don't think we've done a podcast in a month or
two. I was trying to be positive. All right. Let's talk about the Stoccafisso. We did a Facebook Live video, and a lot of people were curious if we were going to do a follow-up because we did a live Facebook of you prepping the Stoccafisso. Let's talk about what that is, what was the prep, and all of that.
Stoccafisso is dried cod. There's two types of preserved cod from up in the Nordic area. Stoccafisso, which is dried with the air, no salt, and then bacala, which is put under salt, no air.
The Stoccafisso, when you look at it from afar, it looks really cool.
It's just a giant fish dried, like hard, like a you could hit someone
bastone.
With it. Yeah, bastone.
They very much Nordic from the north.
The Venetians brought this down because they were big traders, and I was in Fuciani's a couple months ago, and in walks this guy with a big pole with all these fish hanging on it, so I had to buy one.
Yeah, was it? It wasn't September 1st, October 1st?
I don't remember. Oh, yes, 1st of October, uh-huh. I put it down, yep. And the deal was you put it underwater for 2 weeks, and then you make different things out of it.
Wait, what did the guy tell you? Because he knew the house. The old man who was selling the Stoccafisso on a stick.
Oh, he told me to put it in the river behind in the house and just let it in the river. And
he was like, I know where you live. You have the river. That's the best place to put it. And I thought, oh, my God, this is hysterical. We are going so full on country if we stick this fish in the river. Because then we have to put a cage around it so other animals don't eat it. And it was just like, oh, my God.
Well, we didn't put it in the river.
No.
We stuck it in the outdoor sink. And
guests who's been here for the last month have seen it.
They saw that thing because it was out there for 2 weeks with running water, and I changed the water every day. And then I was going – and then what did we try to make? We tried to make
– the like vincenzata or something. I don't know. Something from Venice area that you looked up 100 times on – YouTube.
So I tried to find people in our area. No one knows how to make any dishes with this because it's really not from our area. There is a dish of Stoccafisso from down in Ancona, but we don't live in Ancona. No one knew what to do. So I just went on YouTube and watched a bunch of videos. It looked...
First of all, the videos were awesome.
The videos were awesome.
The Italians have not picked up the subtleties of filming recipe videos with the DSLR and a nice bokeh or anything. It is... These
it's
guys,
cheesy.
It's hysterical. And filmed in, I don't know what year, but it sure looks like the early 80s. And these guys are in full, like, chef's outfits.
With the big puffy hats. It looked like the Muppets, where it's the two chefs. Smorgy-borgy. It looked like those guys. They had the giant puffy hats. They had the neckerchiefs?
Yes. And one of my favorite videos, the one you watched over and over, there's two chefs cooking, and the third chef was holding the mic, and the audio was really poppy, and he loved to chat. And it was just very funny because he would control the mics and sometimes let the other chefs chat. But
he pulled the mic away real quick.
Yeah.
Anyway. I followed the recipe. It looked correct as I was doing it. I've never done it before. And it stunk. It smelled like a special kind of butthole and armpit And
it was so gross. Like, it just smelled so wrong. And when we first got it, the day we got it, there was a Dutch mom and her daughter, her adult daughter and her friend here. And she was like, oh, no, Stocafiso, no, no, no. My father, no, the smell. And we were like, what? It doesn't smell. It just smells like kind of dried fish. Like, yeah, it's not a big deal.
It didn't smell when it was dried.
And then when it was cooking, it was like, oh, my God, that smell. What is that god-awful smell? It was not appetizing or enticing at all. If you eat with your nose, then you're not even coming close to this dish. It was.
I think it's one of those acquired things. The smell was tough. The smell was tough, and the consistency was.
It was freaking weird. It was disgusting. Weird. And someone on Facebook asked how it came out, and I wrote horrible. We must have done something wrong. It stunk. And she's Australian and really funny, and her family's Italian from Italy. And she said, "Nope, sounds like you did it right." I just thought, "Oh my god, if that is right, then I want to stick with bacala because the Stocafiso, no more."
Well, it's just a shame. No one wanted it. Gaju didn't want
it. No.
Anyone who walked into that kitchen is like, I don't want to try that.
No, and then we had to get it out of the kitchen because you were doing a cooking class that afternoon. It was like, we cannot put the guests through this smell. And, oh, I don't know.
So, unfortunately, it went straight to the garbage. Yeah. A lot of time.
Ta-da!
A lot of money. That fish was not cheap. It had like a liter of olive oil in that dish. And
yeah.
I took two bites and it was like, ooh, I don't.
And we did a stupid Facebook Live thinking it was going to be awesome. It was just, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Yeah,
that was definitely a strikeout.
That was no good.
But anyway.
And then we went into our workshop, our consulting workshop, and that was a blast. We had a great group. And most of them this time, I think, were more interested in looking at either part-time living here for, you know, longer than the 3 months for an American visa, or retiring in Italy. And if you were interested in bed and breakfasts or some sort of activity in farming and agriculture. So it made us really decide that for 2018, we're going to split them up and do how to move to Italy and start a business, as well as a separate workshop on how to move to Italy and retire. That way it can be a bit more focused for people who aren't interested in setting up a business and don't need all that information as well.
Or some of them who want to go deeper into the logistics of the business and mm-hmm. doing business with Italians. And
exactly.
We can tailor it a little bit. So mm-hmm. cut a day for one, but add more relevant information.
Mm-hmm. Some great ideas. I don't want to share any because I don't want to have anyone loose on some of their great niche ideas for travel and tourism and things here in Italy, but it's really fun and quite inspiring also just to hear what they want to do and their plans for the future here. So it's really, I love doing these consulting workshops. It's a blast. Then we just posted yesterday, the whatever date, 28th of October, we posted the 2018 calendar on the website. Oh man, I was working on the website for a couple days. We've been working on the calendar for a few months and trying to hammer out dates and programs and workshops, and it is packed. We've got a bunch of the How to Move to Italy workshops, as well as one I'm really excited about with more info to come on an inspiring innkeepers workshop where we're going to kind of more like a boot camp, actually. And the first few days will be how to move to Italy, set up a business, all of that stuff. And then the second half, we put the guests to work. They will be our shadows, and everyone will take turns for a day following us and doing the work with us.
No, not the guests. We will be the people.
The workshop guests.
The workshop guests
are going to be put to work, and we're going to have a family package going on at the same time. So that way there's a bunch of kids, families, dinners, a little chaos, a little craziness, something's going to break.
Someone's going to cry.
There's definitely going to be a food issue or just, a little Billy doesn't eat pasta with sauce.
Well, I think this is good. This is real hands-on. You wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and follow up, and someone's with Ashley, someone's with me, and let's show you what a real day or a real week looks like to run an agriturismo.
Yeah, from the breakfast in the morning to the guests and the chickens to down in the garden and watering to going grocery shopping, menu planning.
Execution.
The execution of it all. I'm really excited. I think it'll be
Well, I think it'll be really good for someone who is really interested in doing this but doesn't know exactly what it entails. This is – you get five days of it and you can really tell, oh, this is something that I would – this is fun or interesting. Yes. Or you're –
it's moving, a
– or I can't
say. It's a boot camp in hospitality operations, a bit of agriculture and sustainable tourism all wrapped up. And, the Inspiring Innkeepers at the end of July. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah, you'll – if you do that, if you're on the fence, you'll definitely be on one side or the other at the end of that.
Gaji will help push you either direction too. And we're also this year doing some workshops for the wood burning oven and sausage making. The wood oven class is always an overnight class, but it's hard to plan. So we thought, let's do a couple workshop weekends of it, 3 nights. Come for a nice dinner, your welcome night. And then the wood oven is great because it's more than just pizza. And in this class, we show you how to use the oven at the different temperatures. And that includes cooking something overnight. And instead of just sending you home with some meat in a to-go dish, we thought, all right, we'll kind of extend it over 2 days, do a little something the next day, and have a lovely dinner. So you'll end up with two meals from the wood oven, and from pizza to antipasti, a meat dish. I think it'll be great.
Well, yeah. Before it would just be someone would request it and then I would have to kind of fit it into
exactly
everything that else is going on around here. Whereas, now if we have a dedicated weekend for it, it's like, oh, well now everyone's doing
we could take the time, we could put tons of stuff in. Yep.
And because it's the thing that's great about the wood oven is you can do anything that a regular oven can do. The bad thing is you have to sit there and baby it. It's, mm-hmm. You can't really walk away from it. You can't be very far. So it's not practical to say, well, I'm going to throw this roast into the wood oven and then come back in 2 hours and see how it's going. No, there's no temperature control. There's no thermostat like your regular oven.
Normal people do buy thermostats for their outdoor or wood ovens.
Oh, no. This
But Jason likes to use a different method.
I use the arm hair burn technique. How quickly does your arm hair burn? And that tells you how hot that oven is.
It's really scientific. So definitely go check out the website to see what's going on in 2018. We hope you're able to join us. What else has been going on is we've been hardcore deep into researching and working on the construction for the kitchen.
Oh, well, you're skipping way ahead.
What?
I want to talk more about autumn. We haven't talked about autumn is here, any of that
Well,
stuff.
I just meant that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
All right.
So autumn's here. So
it is here.
People want to hear about truffles and mushrooms and hunting.
All right,
all that stuff that's going on. So we got rain in September, which gave way to some porcinis at the late September, beginning of October. There's been some mushrooms a couple of weeks ago, but they're kind of petering out. It's gotten dry again.
Mm-hmm.
We had one freeze day, one freeze overnight on the 4th,
something like that.
It was one night we woke up. It was not frozen hard, but there was frost on the cars, killed all the pepper plants. So the gardens pretty much, apart from the autumn cabbages and stuff, all the summer stuff is done. It's dry again. The weather obviously is cooler, but it's dry. The strains are dry.
The mushrooms were looking really shockingly well in September and the first part of October. And like Jason mentioned, we had a little rain, but it was also, we had humid mornings, very dewy, very wet mornings. And, that combined with the warm afternoons popped up a ton of mushrooms. Good and bad, but it was fantastic to go mushroom hunting with the guests because it was like, oh my God, they're everywhere.
And it was warm.
And not to mention there were cars everywhere up and down our road, which is the sign it's hunting season and that there's mushrooms. But yeah, the truffles is a whole nother story.
Yeah, truffles this year in our area are not very good. They're very small. They're not very profumatic.
No, and expensive.
And expensive.
So this week is our truffle package week, and we'll go truffle hunting. Thankfully, we've got a great group of women out here, and most who have been here before, just looking for a good, fun experience. I don't think we're going to find much in the woods. Even the truffle hunter who I spoke to set it up with from town here was like, I don't know, Ash, kind of thing. It's not going to be a good one. And I said, it's fine. We just want to go for the experience. And, but I think it will be it's still the experience. You'll see what the dogs are running around and how much work it is to find one, or sometimes you don't find any. But then we'll end up going to the Truffle Festival as well this weekend. And I'm curious to see what we see at the market. Like, because we've gone some years where it's just overflowing with truffles.
They'll bring them from other areas.
That's what I was wondering, too.
If there's nothing here, they'll bring them from up north somewhere. The cars in the morning for the regular mushroom hunters have petered out. In fact, this morning, it's really quiet. It is earlier because we woke up too early. But Gaji has been upset. The hunting has not gone very well.
For him. He said some of his buddies have caught stuff.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
They're starting with the dogs now, but they've been doing the migrating birds and the windmills. They put windmills at the end of the valley, and that has definitely had an effect on the flight of the birds through this valley. The birds are his big boy clubhouse is at the end of the valley, just next to these. I mean, they sit back from him maybe a mile, a couple kilometers, a mile, but it doesn't matter. They're there.
And that's got to affect
it. Yeah, I think it's affected the birds passing, so they're all frustrated.
How long does it take for the hunters to try to, like, shoot those down?
I know. Those are pretty big. I don't think you can shoot them down.
I know. But that sounds like one of those redneck things. Well, God, let's just shoot it down. What else has been going on here for the fall? Obviously, all of the festivals going on each weekend for the harvest, and whether it's the potatoes or the truffles
and
the pears.
The road's still crap.
The road's still crap.
Supposedly, we might be on...
we'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you posted. We might be on local news to... we did a quid pro quo. We have a friend who works for the local news station, and they've wanted us to do something on Halloween or some kind of recipe, and I don't want to be on Italian TV, on Italian news. I just don't want to be.
We fly under the radar,
various reasons. Anyway, I do want to be on the news for our crappy road, and it is horrible.
So we wrote back to the reporter, journalist, and said, you know, I hate to do this, but a little tit for tat, would you? Jason's willing to do a cheesy whatever recipe if you will expose the conditions of our road. And he said, done and done. So
the reason why is that's the only way to get, not the only way, but it's one way to get things done is shame and exposing it. And if...
shame is a great way.
It's a great way to get things done. So obviously writing and complaining to this municipalities doesn't do anything.
No. For guests who have been here, you know the state and the condition, and it just only gets worse.
For those who have
never been here, it's a solid, from start to finish, about 10K of pockmarked, war-strewn, like it is just disintegrated road.
Some parts are better than others, and then some parts
incredible
are really
potholes.
Bad.
It just ruins and tests the suspension of your car. It is horrible. So if we can get this road fixed, that is a big score. Oh, also because it's owned by two different regions and four villages, so that's a huge problem to get everyone to coordinate. So we're going to be scandaloso and take it to the news. Very Italian.
We'll see if it really...
We'll make Fusciani proud.
Yeah, we'll see if it does anything. I have no idea. All right, now we can talk about...
I was going to say, now can we talk about the kitchen? Okay, there's been a lot going on in the kitchen. Not that anyone can see any differences yet, but it's all behind the scenes.
We're staying... So last podcast, we talked about how we're going to stay here for at least another 4 years. So all the things that we've put off the last year or so, because it's like, well, we're leaving, so why invest time and money in doing this or that, or just leave it because we're out of here. Well, that's all caught up with us now.
It's time.
So there's a lot of little projects.
It's time for a lot of things.
One of the big ones is going to be to rip out the entire kitchen because it is cooked. It's done.
Now, that sounds incredibly dramatic, but really, for having a cooking school, our kitchen is quite simple, and ripping it out means one wall of cabinets.
It's one wall of work. Yeah. New stove. We'll keep the cap. New sink. New counter. New
cabinets.
We need
new lighting.
And new lighting. That's the main thing. Our lighting in that cave is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not that it's terrible. It's just it's overhead, so it's real shadowy. And it if you stand under the lights, it's almost like you're in a lineup kind of.
Well, if anyone has any good ideas, let us know. We're heading towards long LED panels. Mm-hmm. Is that the right way to kind of explain it?
Yeah.
And just to bring more light, and we have a rafters that the travies, so it's really, we have to be able to kind of hide the light slash have enough light.
Recess it.
Yeah, to recess it. So it's
we have a plan. We got a plan. But I'm going with a 4-burner commercial stove. I don't need 6 burners. What I need is 4 spaced out burners. My problem now with the stove is just a regular, it's the largest
home
stove they offer. Is the burners are placed too close together. So if you put a big pot of water, you take up a whole side of the stove.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have 4 burners that are nice, spaced out, and that I can put a big pot and still use the other 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need anything fancy. I've got a big gas oven, because the if you got the gas up top and electrical oven with the convection, the oven was tiny.
Well, why don't you mention that in general, that for people thinking about moving to Italy or whatnot, ovens here are small.
They are small. I'm in commercial equipment now, and they're still not the same size as a normal family's oven in North America. We have big stuff in North America.
Yes. Couches, fridges, ovens.
All that's
beds,
dishwashers, mm-hmm. Washers and dryers.
Oh my God. Last winter when we were in the States, both my sister, my girlfriend Teresa, you know, any friends where we stayed or family, they're washer and dryers were not only huge, they had the schematics for like,
it looked like you were launching missiles. Yes. Or something. They were all computerized and flashy, and you can literally get in that thing.
Oh my God.
So Europe, at least in Italy, I know in most of Europe, the appliances are not that
Holland.
Big. Yeah. Holland has small ones too. So I'm in the commercial space, and I'm a 90 centimeter or 80 centimeters for 4 burners, and the oven is just – it's not big. It's not – you couldn't fit – with this one, you can. I can barely fit a Thanksgiving turkey in my oven.
And
barely.
Is it 1 or 2
– This one will have 2 racks. The one now has just 1.
Mm-hmm. But That's another thing for – like people just don't realize.
Yeah, the racks are mm-hmm. – you get one – I have 1 rack in my oven. I run a cooking school. It's ridiculous. Uh-huh. So anyway, I'm excited for that because we are 1 burner down currently on my current stove. It's just it's done.
Well, he futzes with it constantly. The plan is, as soon as the last guests check out, we are ripping it apart, the kitchen, and we're doing new tile. We're going to put in subway tile behind the as like the backsplash. And oh my gosh. I think we're going to do some series of like just raw kind of YouTube style videos or whatnot about the construction and taking it apart, because it's the simple things that are hysterical. You have to laugh. The differences. We took 3 different measurements of the length of the wall.
There's nothing.
The workspace that we're redoing. 3 different spots that we measured.
Up the wall.
Up the wall.
Base of, you know, like, I don't know, a little bit up and then shoulder width up. There's 3 different measurements.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, oh, well, it's, you know, quarters of inches or halves of centimeters. You know, no. We're talking about good chunks difference.
Yeah. So nothing's straight. Nothing's... measures right. Like, oh my gosh.
The wall falls back and it falls to the left and away.
Well, and not to mention, the wall is stone, exposed stone. So in that it's different for laying the tile, having anything lay flat, trying to figure out how we're hiding the electrics that you want to put in. Not the electrics, the plugs.
Mm-hmm.
And...
well, it's just different. It's not – we don't have a drywall.
No.
It's all stone. So the preparation and the – it's totally different. So I know how to fix these walls, but I couldn't go back to North America and fix a wall. I have no idea.
No. You'd probably ruin houses because you're thinking it's stucco, so it's like a drywall with little hole, you know, and you start breaking away going, you got to go deeper so then we can fill this in. No. You're just – putting a hole in my wall.
That's the difference. So with these stone walls, when you get chips or you have to scrape it off and you almost have to cut out all the bad
mm-hmm.
part. So you almost have to make it look worse
because yep.
then you can fill it with the – you can fling the mud and then put the two – there's 2 top coats after you put the filler cement in. And there's a special way you have to fling it. You can't like paste it on like a – you think you put it on like with a trowel and – and wipe it on. No, you flip it and then you let it sit. And then you come back with this piece of aluminum that's perfectly straight and you kind of smooth and shimmy it out. Then you come back with sponges and sponge it down. Then you let that dry. And then you put on the two top coats of calce or chalk, this chalky finish. There's a base one and then a finish chalk.
There's a lot to do.
There is a lot to do. There's a lot of steps. Nothing's hard. It's the old school way of doing it.
No, but I think it will be interesting to kind of record some of this process from an expat foreigner's point of view, just of going, you know, 10 years in, he's learned a lot, but we've got a lot to learn for doing this kitchen, I think.
So we'll see how smooth this goes. I'm trying to measure twice and cut once on this job.
He's hoping it takes a week. A girlfriend who recently remodeled their house just about died laughing. She was like, oh yeah, I'm sure that's going to work out good for you. And your budget, add another $3,000.
Well, if everything's sitting here waiting, it's the demo, the prep, and then putting it in. I think there's no reason why if everything's here, we can't do it in a week. That sounds pretty.
As long as we've got good weather.
Someone's laughing their ass off right now as they're listening to this. It's not that big of a deal. We're not.
No, but the other thing we've been working on at the same time in this prep is we were kind of redoing our fireplace. We've always had a big open fireplace in the kitchen, which is very charming and idyllic in the photos. And it looks great having a big roaring fire. But 10 years in and now adding another 4 or 5, we breathe that shit in every single day in the winter.
When the air comes from a certain direction, it doesn't draw well. So we're going to put in a big stove, like a big... It's not a potbelly stove. It's a.
It's like an insert for the fireplace. Stufa. That's a stufa, caminetta, like a little camina, like a little
hot firebox.
Yeah.
Anyway, with a door, and you open the door and throw the logs in, and it has a little fan on it and blows it out. And we have to rig the chimney now. I have to get this piece called a raccordo, so it goes from a round tube that comes off the little stufa to the square form, the square shape or rectangle shape that is the chimney. And so that's been up with my head up in the chimney and a pickaxe, of course it doesn't fit perfectly. It'll fit, but...
No, and he comes out like just such chim-chimney disaster.
Oh, man. Great looking. Great. When you blow your nose, it looks awesome.
Disgusting.
I got the black lung pop.
I know. You've been working hard, though. And thank God it's been warm, because not only is that stove and oven or fireplace not ready to be using to heat, the one in our little place, we just cleaned out our little... cottage house for the winter and got everything out of here that we use as storage downstairs throughout the season. This is why we're getting a cargo container. And it's time to bring our little potbelly stove stufa back in here as well, too. We haven't used heat at all for ourselves, only the guests so far.
Guests are the only ones who get heat. We don't get it.
But it shows how warm it's been. We've used a little tiny... A little electrical heater, just in the evening
but not bad.
Oh, and thank God, because we have no wood delivered yet.
No, it'll come. Podcast listeners, I got a quick question. I've been researching. I don't have an engine lift I'm going to be getting this from a neighbor, this stove, and it weighs 200 kilo. So it's not light. We're going to put it in the back of the van. And then how do I get it out of the van without having a bunch of guys? Because all the guys I know are retired age.
They're all gotcha age.
So I was thinking about doing a block and tackle, but what do I put the block on at the top to – I would have to have something coming out of the house. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? With the ropes and the pulleys, it's called block and tackle. How do I get it – I can't put that much weight on the truck, on the roof of the truck. Mm-mm. I need something coming out of the house that's absolutely like I have to figure it out. If anyone has ideas.
Can you borrow one from Fushiani for just the afternoon?
That thing's huge. I don't know if he'll let me take that giant thing. That his hand forklift thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the simplest solution.
I know.
Will he let me?
Do you think that it'll...
But that thing weighs a freaking ton, too. How do you get that out of the truck?
Oh, that's true. We don't have a ramp.
That thing weighs a ton.
What about our dolly that is with flat tires?
The little hand dolly? No, you can't put that thing on there. So I need suggestions. I think I can get it at the guy's shop. There's a bunch of dudes around. But down here, it's me and Gaji and Luke, who's 74 years old. I don't know. I think the block and tackle is the way to go because it's a really easy system to lift things. But what do I hook it onto?
I don't know.
Anyone? I got to get it out of the back of a van.
Callers, call in.
Callers, call in. Line one. Line one. Jim from Santa Clara, you're on. Okay, so that's going on. We also want to redo our closet. We got a ton of
so many projects.
Here we go.
This winter's going to fly by, I tell you what. Oh, what else has been going on?
Well, Ashley, would you like to talk about your hospital visits, costs, and doctor? That's what's next on the list.
Well, I recently had to go to the doctor for some allergy or just weird stuff, and it's just very interesting, the differences of the Italian healthcare system versus the U.S. And first, when I had to go to the doctor, it was I had an appointment, and I needed to go see the doctor at 5 o'clock, and it was at the hospital in Urbino. Well, you show up there, and it is empty corridors. Like, there's some people there working. They're doing construction on the hospital. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no real signs. There was no one really to help you figure out where to go. The information desk was closed. I found one other person and she just said near the area for where you passed the area where you get your casts. I was like, what does that even mean? Like, continue through it? Is it in the next corridor over? I got up there and just wandered around and finally had to ask a nurse pushing in an empty gurney, thank God. And I was like, here's the doctor I'm looking for. And she's like, oh yeah, just wait in this corridor and a chair right here. And I thought, okay, do I check in with anyone? How does anyone know I'm just sitting here? Okay, I'll wait right here. My appointment's at 5 o'clock. All right, here comes 5:05, 5:15, 5:20. Well, a doctor comes out of one office, walks around, goes back in, but no one really looks at me or talks to me. Who am I supposed to check in with? Where am I supposed to go? I don't even know. I'm just told to sit here. What if this isn't even the right spot? So finally I knock on the door of the doctor who did pop out because I'm like, well, she doesn't have anyone in there and I'm supposed to see a female doctor. Maybe it's her. And I said, hi, I'm supposed to have an appointment at 5. And she's like, oh my gosh, it's with me. I'm sorry I didn't come out and check. And we proceeded with the appointment. Okay. So the first part is really slightly frustrating or confusing because you don't know where to go. You have no interaction with anyone giving you proper information versus when I was in the States last winter with my dad being sick. I saw, how it was more like you're stopping in at a hotel, the amount of check-in people, all of the signs, the arrows, the nurses' stations. However, the price is quite, you pay for it. So I can't even imagine what these things would cost in the States. Well, I saw this doctor and she sent me to get a few other examinations and tests done. And all of these things in total, including a chest x-ray, a mammogram, a mammograph, all of this stuff, which all came back negative, which is great. Cancer-free. was €100 and change. And she told me to keep the change, you filthy animal, basically. And I couldn't believe it. $100. I got all of my results the same day. Everyone was incredibly kind and nice. So you have this weird frustration where you're walking around and you don't quite know where you're supposed to go and you feel slightly lost. But then, and you almost think there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. But then once you see a doctor, they're so wonderful. They're very personable. They take the time. They talk to you. The whole thing's done in Italian, and obviously I want to make sure I'm understanding everything. But it actually is a great system. So if you get over the empty, creepy corridors and the lack of information, you get into a doctor's office and you're a person and not just a number and they treat you well. The whole thing, it might be a little, like I said, a little bit of a headache even getting the appointment. I had to figure out how to call the offices. Like, there's only a 1-800 number, but it's not a 1-800 number. They charge you crazy. And then they'll tell you, you are number 41. That's on a good day. I was number 150 something one day. And that's when you just hang up and say, I'll call back again later and try to make my appointment later. Also, when you're making your appointment, an interesting thing is you can have the regular system of sanitation of the healthcare system where it's pretty much free or very, very, very low cost, or you can do private, but it's not really private. It's more that you're paying for expedited service, if you will. And if you're willing to pay a little bit more, like I did, that's when your costs run up and it's €100 for a handful of tests. And to me, the urgency was there. It needed to be done. And I'd rather pay the $100 than wait and, you know, another month and not be sure what's going on. So it's really, I don't know. I have not encountered a problem with the Italian healthcare system. People are very nervous about it, or that kind of system in the States, but I don't know.
It has its problems.
Of course it has its problems, and it can be confusing and there can be long waits, but yeah, the private side or the expedited side has worked for me wonderfully, and I haven't had any problems in that sense. So, I'll keep you posted, but I don't know. Just wanted to share my two cents on what it's been like dealing with some of the hospitals and healthcare here. Anything else that you wanted to add or put in?
No.
Thank you for that, Jason. I think you're feeling like you're trying to ruin the podcast at the end here. That you just have dropped your energy.
I'm sorry.
Zero.
You were. I had to go to the bathroom, and then I came back, and you were rolling. So I just sat back and listened.
I know, but I was throwing you a huge softball. Hit it out of the park.
Hit it out of the park. Coming up today, it is warm. The sun is up. It is getting warm. The sun is up. The rooster's crowing. I hear him, and he needs to be. They need to be let out.
I did find out that Roosty could live to be 5 or 6 years old. I think he's like 3 or 4 right now. We're not exactly sure, but just a little update. Roosty's looking good, living good.
We haven't killed any of the chickens.
No,
yet.
Exactly.
It's been so warm that usually when it starts getting wet and cold and they look miserable in there, it's time we look at
it. Well, that's why I mentioned it. For podcast listeners or guests, they know what's coming at the end, and Brodo is normally the name of the rooster, but no, we
well,
like this guy.
These ladies are laying pretty good, pretty strong lately.
Oh, but they're just not laying in their coop.
No.
One goes down, comes out the coop, down kind of a grassy driveway covered area, if you will. I don't know how many feet that is.
Quarter mile.
No, like 50 feet.
Whatever. She makes a beeline. She walks down the road, across a bridge, into the brush, and lays in the same spot every day. And I go and get it every afternoon.
But it's incredible. She holds it in and goes all the way down the road. It is really weird. At first it was like, you heading into town, girl? Where are you taking that egg? But
same spot every day.
Same spot. So,
and then if I forget about it, some animal knows it's there because it's gone the next day.
Yeah, either hunting dogs or a weasel or something.
Something knows,
who knows?
It's there. So I have to make sure I get it. But today is cleanup day. I got to do measurements for this stove coming. Lots to do.
I know. It's time to get to work. We always say it.
Are you going to read from your book?
How long was this podcast?
This podcast is currently 38 minutes and 17 seconds.
Well, I was going to say if it's between 35 and 45 minutes, we're going to wrap it up and call this one a day, and we'll read on the next one. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Oh, you guys got this. Yeah,
No, it's a cliffhanger. You guys stay tuned for the next podcast.
So we front-loaded this one with information about 2018. It's up. Go check it out. We will keep plugging along. You will see the progress. I have to actually start buying all this stuff. That's the scary part.
That is. Pulling the trigger.
Yeah, pulling the trigger. And you've looked at it. You measured it. It's like eventually we're going to have to buy something. Otherwise, we're never going to get this kitchen done.
I know. It's time. All right. We'll keep you guys posted.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. Bring us home.
All right. You can find us at La Tavola Marche. LATAVOLAMARCHE. Our website, latavolamarche.com. Shoot us an email at info@latavolamarche.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know where to find us. La Tavola Marche, baby. LATAVOLAMARCHE. And you can follow me and our sweet little expat living life out here on Instagram at Ashley Bartner. All right. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.